Welcome to the Cowboy Chronicles, the Oklahomans, Oklahoma State football podcast, presented by Zaxby's. Satisfy your craving for hand-breaded chicken and fresh-made salads. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order online at zaxbys.com/podcast. I am your host of the Cowboy Chronicles, Scott Wright, joined by my beat partner, Jacob Unruh. Got us a loaded podcast here to finish up the pregame Kansas situation. Got Ryan Novosinski, an OSU student who has a fascinating podcast. Good stuff from him coming up in a little bit. And we got the mailbag. We appreciate all of you who chipped in for that. Got an interesting scenario. You know, it's a little bit of flashbacks when you start talking about postseason scenarios for me and Jacob. But going back to our high school days, trying to figure out all of that stuff in week 10 of the season.
Oh, no.
So we'll get into a little bit of that. It's a little bit more complicated when there's still three games left. So
yeah.
But we will get into all of that later on down the line in the mailbag segment. Again, thank you for joining if you did this week in the mailbag. But Jacob, first of all, looking at this game, I'm more and more curious about the Kansas offense.
Mm-hmm.
We know that the defense can't stop the run and they've had their struggles. This offense is not that bad.
No, it's really not. You start looking at what Puka Williams can do.
Yeah.
Carter Stanley can do. Those two alone can really cause some problems for a defense. The players talked about it this week. Gundy's talked about it this week. This might be more of a test of defense than I think people were expecting.
Yeah,
it might be. It's a good test of defense. I think the way the defense has progressed, it's kind of. I don't know that you want them to maybe come out of a break and have a cakewalk where you don't get to really keep building what you're wanting to do. So maybe this is beneficial for OSU because OSU should still win the game, but they're going to be pushed a little bit, but offensively or defensively, I guess, by Kansas's offense.
Right. Exactly. And Mike Gundy talked about the changes that were made when they switched offensive coordinators, mm-hmm. a lot more vertical passing, a lot of things that you don't expect from a Les Miles offense. So it seems to fit really well with what Carter Stanley is able to do. And he's a veteran guy that's been around for a while. And, Puka Williams is the guy that I'm really surprised he hasn't had hasn't been more productive.
Yeah,
than he has.
Especially under Les Miles, right?
Yeah, I mean. Exactly. But he's still got that big playability mm-hmm. to make you have to know where he's at. And Gundy talked about the importance of getting him down. When you get him in your arms, you've got to tackle him or he will slip away.
Brock Martin said he's like a 225-pound running back and he's like 180, 170. He's tiny, but Brock was looking at him on film going that he looks smaller than he really plays.
And, yeah.
He's like, it's important. We've got to wrap him up because if we don't, he turns, he said, you saw it against Texas Tech. You saw it against Texas. He turns 20, he turns negative plays into 20, 30 yard runs if you don't get him down.
Yeah. That's the thing. You look at this offense, they've had their low moments, but they've gone out and put up big points against some solid teams or mm-hmm. at least some middle of the road teams, So they've shown the ability that if you give them a chance, they can go score 45 points on you. So it's going to be really important. The defensive pass rush will be important once again. Obviously, the linebacker play. We haven't really talked a lot about the linebackers lately because the defensive line has been mm-hmm. playing so much better. Those linebackers are still playing really well.
Yeah. Malcolm's leading the way, obviously, Malcolm Rodriguez. But then Eamon Ogbogbemiga, I think, has had a really – quiet season is the way to put it, but he's had a really good year.
Yeah.
And it's been really interesting to see his growth. Kevin Henry, Devin Harper, guys like that. Kevin Henry just got his sixth year. But you've got these guys there that are making a lot of noise. You could throw Brock Martin, Trace Ford, Mike Scott kind of in that group a little bit maybe because the way they come off the edge, standing up with the linebacker spot a little bit, maybe dropping a little bit of some short coverage situations there. But, I think that group is – been the heart of the defense all year, and they've lived up to it.
Absolutely. Malcolm Rodriguez, we haven't really gotten into it in quite a while, but the way that he has made this transition has been remarkable, and it blows my mind. It really does for a guy like that that just it does. You stand next to him and you don't feel like you're standing next to a college linebacker.
Not at all.
But he plays way above his size.
I know there's four games left, including the bowl game. But is he the defensive MVP?
Ooh, he might be. He might be. That's a good question.
You know, I mean, you could argue for a Harvell Peel. You could argue for, I mean, Ogbogamiga. I mean, you could argue for A.J. Green. But something about Malcolm changing positions right before the season starts, and it has not skipped a beat.
Right.
Defensively, for the whole unit, for himself, it's been, I don't say flawless because he's had some moments, you know, but it's been really stellar.
Yeah, it has. And, you know, we've seen him leave games a couple of times with what looks like a shoulder injury. And it's just about always, even if they pop up the tent over there, he's back on the field the next series almost exclusively. You mentioned Kevin Henry. I know you got to visit with him on Tuesday night. Getting that sixth year is a big deal to him, and just a fascinating guy.
Yeah, you know, he had that ACL injury. He had a concussion, this year? Yeah. The ACL injury, he said he was almost ready to give it up.
Yeah.
And he got back from that. You know, he's the first one in his family to go to college. He's got two siblings, single mom, and, you know, no college at all. And he's graduating, but he really wants to play football.
Yeah.
That's what I really got from this. Like, he just really wants to play football. And he got this 6 year. He didn't think it was much of an idea until someone brought it up to him. And he's like, oh, okay. Maybe I should try for it.
Right.
And he tried and got it, and he's come back another year, which I think is another boost to this linebacker core that's got a lot of guys coming back to begin with.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, now with you know, with Bundage in his situation, now they're looking at not losing anybody and potentially adding Bundage. Plus you got the two true freshmen who they thought they were going to have to count on more this season than they have. They're going to be able to redshirt those guys now this year and have some serious depth at that position and some experience. Now, you look at the group that they've got, they're going to have a ton of seniors next year. So they've really got to be loading up and trying to get some guys some experience because Ogbogamiga, Rodriguez, Harper are all juniors right now. Mm-hmm. And then Henry is a senior who will be getting a sixth year. Bunnage is a senior who is redshirting.
Yeah.
So that's five seniors now in your linebacker group for two spots. So the importance of loading up and making sure that you're ready for all of that depletion is going to be really important to this defense. Now, and they've got a couple of guys who are redshirting. Two guys committed right now, the two local guys, and so they're working on that for sure. I would not be surprised to see Jim Knowles go out and land another linebacker in this recruiting class. They've got some room to work with, at least another probably seven or eight spots they can fill in this class. So
maybe go get a JUCO guy just to have a little bit more experience.
Yeah.
Ready to go.
Yeah, especially if it was a guy who could come in and redshirt for a year and then be a junior 2 years from now. So that would be a good plan as well. So going to be interesting, but I think the defense, to bring this full circle, will be tested a little bit more than we might have expected, you know, a few weeks ago in this game. The question will be, as we've already discussed on this podcast before, can they actually tackle Chuba Hubbard when he gets the ball?
Oh, yes.
One of the worst run defenses in the country. And, you know, talking to Chuba on Tuesday night, he seems very focused this week. He was in intense mode.
Was he?
After practice on Tuesday. So,
might be a big night for Chuba.
Could be a very big one. So we'll see how that goes. But let's go ahead and take a break. We've got Ryan Novosinski of the In the Novo podcast coming up right after this. This is the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. We are back on the Cowboy Chronicles. I am your host, Scott Wright, joined by Jacob Unruh, and we have a special guest on the line, Ryan Novosinski, OSU student and a host of an OSU podcast that is very interesting. in the Novo. Ryan, tell us, first of all, thank you for joining us, but secondly, tell us a little bit about your podcast and kind of what you're doing over there.
Well, first off, guys, thanks for having me. I'm really, really appreciate it, because I do listen to the Cowboy Chronicles a lot. Basically, it started last year, but it wasn't nearly as good. I mean, last year really wasn't good at all. And then this year, I kind of got things going, got in a role this summer with getting guests on. And now, I mean, I'm pretty confident every week going into a show and trying to get a guest on, trying to get an interesting perspective, whether it be a national guest or a local guest pertaining to that area. Just getting a guest that is an expert, so to speak, on whatever team OSU is playing, and then having them come on my show.
And you've branched out even a little bit beyond that as well with some pretty big names. You've had I know you had Ed Orgeron the week that Oklahoma State was playing McNeese State, which had some relevancy because his son was the quarterback at McNeese. But you've had Trey Wingo. You've had Mike Leach a couple of times, right?
Yes. Yeah. So Ed O, you know, obviously his son played quarterback for McNeese, and it was interesting that week because I didn't think that was going to happen. I kind of just shot out an email and almost forgot about it. And then out of nowhere, I think I was driving in some sort of small town in Oklahoma, and there was really no connection, but I had enough connection to the point where I had some sort of LTE, and I got an email back from LSU, and I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, this is actually going to happen. So that was pretty cool. And then that got me confident in terms of going forward and getting guests. And then, you know, during Baylor week, had Trey Wingo come on. Then during Texas Tech, of course, had to have Mike Leach come on, and he's definitely an interesting dude. And then TCU, I was almost struggling to get a guest because my brother was getting married that week. And then I noticed that Washington State, because this year college football, there's like two bye weeks. And I was like, you know what? Mike Leach coached in the Big 12. He's almost going to be my Big 12 insider. And I had him come on again. And it was great.
And he offered a phenomenal breakdown of Big 12 mascots, I thought.
Oh, he did, yeah. And it was funny because I didn't expect him to pick Texas Tech to win, but he picked them to win outright. And it was supposed to be sort of a Wild West shootout, as he says. And the interesting thing about the second interview is that I was, like I said, it was my brother's wedding that week. Mike Leach called me at midnight, and that's when we conducted it, at midnight. It was
it's 10 o'clock his
outstanding.
Time, right?
Yeah, it's 10 o'clock his time. He was just coming out of the office, too.
Oh, that's great. But yeah, his breakdown of the mascots, I think, was phenomenal. It was one of my favorite things that I've listened to this year.
Yeah, and I, you know, the first one, too, the reason I asked is, of course, because he did it with the Pac-12 and then just had to get his perspective on the Big 12. It was the long-awaited sequel, so to speak.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, let's talk a little bit of Oklahoma State football, man. You are obviously paying close attention and getting some interesting perspective. What stands out to you the most about what Chuba Hubbard is doing this season?
Well, I mean, it's just the prolific run style he has. You know, the fact that he's leading the country in rushing and isn't even sniffing the Heisman conversation is a storyline in and of itself. And then specifically pertaining to this weekend is the fact that Kansas just has a putrid run defense. I'm sure you guys have studied up on this, but they're 126 out of 130 teams in all college football in terms of run defense. That's near UMass. That's UMass bad. And UMass is, I think I read the other day that their defense is historically bad. So this is a pretty bad Kansas run defense that Chuba Hubbard is just going to eat up.
Yeah, that's I think one of the biggest storylines of this game is what Chuba's going to be able to do.
Well, then real quick, I think Scott and I were somewhat joking the other night, and I set the over under on Chuba runs of 50 or more yards at 4.5.
Yeah, I'm going to go because I saw online people were literally debating, like, putting the over under number at 190 for Chuba Hubbard in terms of yards. And I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility because you look at some of the games that Kansas has had this year. Remember that dreadful Coastal Carolina loss? Mm-hmm, Coastal Carolina's running back in that game had 148 yards and a touchdown. And this is not a guy who stands out in the Sun Belt Conference. This is a guy who's like middle of the pack running back in the Sun Belt. So
yeah, and they only scored 13 points to win that game.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah, I know. Actually, it might have even been 12.
Might have been. It was low. I know Kansas only had 7, so they didn't need much.
It'll be a huge night for Chuba. There is no doubt. Well, I guess think something could happen. I guess, yeah. But it looks like a big night for Chuba. So Ryan, here's my question. What have you seen from this defense as far as progression the last few weeks?
Yeah, I was actually doing a little bit of studying yesterday about OSU's defense at this point last year versus this year. So last year at this point, it was in terms of opponent's yards per game, it was 97th out of 130. And then right now it's 102 out of 130 in terms of ranking in college football. And this year in the Big 12, you see, or last year at this point, you only had 2 Big 12 teams in the top 50. And then this year you have 5. You have Kansas State, Oklahoma, Iowa State, Baylor, and TCU. So defense is progressing in this league. I think OSU just needs to sort of step forward with that. Now, I will say that in the past couple games, those numbers have been a little bit better on OSU's defense. And in some cases, a lot more than I thought this year, OSU's defense has been able to bail out the offense a lot. So I think that's an interesting thing to look at. And yeah, I think, you know, Jim Knowles, he's having a solid year. He's having, and I guess these players are learning more in his system, but I think the real test, whether, you know, because you heard earlier in the year people clamoring for Jim Knowles' job, but I think the real test is going to be what next year is going to look like when these growing pains are over, what Malcolm Rodriguez is going to look like in his third year. You know, questions like this, will Calvin Budge come back? You know, stuff like that is going to be an interesting storyline to see. On top of the fact that got a new defensive line, these guys only have a couple games of experience under their belt. We'll see what happens with the defense going forward.
Yeah, and the defensive line's growth the last really 3 games, though they were, it was a little spotty against Baylor, but definitely the last couple of games has been probably the most important thing, I think, in the development of this defense. Now that they're starting to get some pressure, it seems to have opened the doors for a lot of things, turnovers and other things like that. So that's going to be key going forward. It was funny you said earlier this season people were claiming for Jim Knowles' job, and it was like less than a month ago. It was not that long ago, and now they've had 2 really good games, and so been a really important turnaround. Anybody in particular? I'll give you a second to think about this because I didn't prepare you for it. But give us a player to watch on the offensive and the defensive side of the ball for Oklahoma State. My only warning is you can't take Chuba now because we've talked about him too much.
Chuba's
fine. You got to go away from Chuba on offense, but fire off one on each side of the ball for us.
Yes. Okay. So let's go with on the offense. And I know this is sort of a safe choice. I'm going to go Spencer Sanders. So when Kansas just played Kansas State, a guy like another dual threat quarterback like Skylar Thompson, he had 129 passing yards, and that's not great. But on the rushing side of things, he had 127 rushing yards and 3 rushing touchdowns versus the Jayhawks. So, you know, a guy like Spencer Sanders, I think, can thrive like Skylar Thompson did against Kansas. And maybe even rack up some touchdown numbers on the rushing side of things. And then defensively, you know, I haven't really put a lot of thought into this. Let's go with I'm gonna throw a wild one out there. Let's go with Brenton Evers on the defensive line.
No, very nice.
Just that is because. A wild one. Just because.
All right, I like it. Good stuff. Well, listen, Ryan, tell everybody where they can find your stuff, man.
Yeah, so we're affiliated with the Ocali. If you go to ocali.com, go under the podcast thing, you can find it there. You can also follow me on Twitter, at RyanNovo62. I'm sure Scott will link it in the tweet there, or Jacob will link it in the tweet there, and that'll be interesting. We were supposed to have a really good guest this week, and I'll tell you what happened. And I never like to spoil guests, but I'll just say this. He lost to Evansville last night.
That might
happen with him. Within the next couple of weeks, because that might have to be pushed back.
Yeah, that's a rough one. That was
yeah.
Wow.
Oh, that was a bit of a shocker right there. So
yeah, I was a big Kentucky Wildcats fan last night.
Well,
disappointed.
good luck on replacing that guest. Yeah. and maybe getting that one down later in the future. Then so.
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Ryan, we appreciate it. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on the Cowboy Chronicles, sponsored by Zaxby's. We are back on the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's, and it is mailbag time. We got some interesting ones. I'm going to read the first question. We're going to answer it last,
okay?
Because it's going to take some time and some diving into. But M. Butler asks, "Riddle me the chaos needed for the Pokes to find their way to Arlington." Obviously, talking about the Big 12 championship game. I know it starts this weekend with Baylor beating OU and Iowa State beating Texas. Not to mention OSU has to win out. Okay, so there's a lot to unpack there. We'll get to that after a couple of other less mentally taxing questions. Brandon Long came through with a couple of very interesting ones, one that we can discuss and one that we don't have an answer for either.
Okay, cool.
But the first one, is there a reason we haven't seen more of C.J. Moore?
That's a good question.
It is.
He got off to that really fast start.
Yeah.
And then disappeared.
Yes.
Literally just disappeared from the offense. And it started with Tulsa. Like, I thought he was going to get more opportunities at Tulsa, his hometown. He has played really well going into the game, and then he just didn't – from there, he hasn't done anything.
Yeah.
And,
no.
Like, hasn't even been on the field.
No.
And I don't really have an explanation. Mike says he's improving. Mm-hmm. He's done well. Mike Gundy has said that. And so I don't know – I don't have a strong answer on this. It's kind of bewildering. You would think, too, maybe he gets more opportunities with Tylan out now, but
hasn't happened.
He didn't get that the other day either. So,
yeah, it's a very interesting situation because, like you said, two touchdowns in his first three receptions.
Yeah,
in his first two games, one of them was a really impressive catch late in the Oregon State game, and then he had the long one in mop up time against McNeese. But he was a guy that I thought was going to be mixing in, and really getting some experience and. I kind of wonder if OSU is going to maybe regret not mixing him and Patrick McCoffman in a little bit more.
Yeah,
because Jordan McCray is gone, and I mean the reason they brought in Jordan McCray was because they didn't feel that those two guys were ready.
Yeah.
to take over that spot. And now if you don't play them this year, are they going to be ready next year? Is kind of the question. So. It's an interesting scenario. I don't know why there hasn't been more of C.J. Moore. So we'll see where things go from here, and if he picks up some more action as they try to, there's been some speculation maybe he's nursing an injury, just nothing serious, but a hamstring or something like that that's been slowing him down. But nothing. There's been nothing.
Yeah. Mike Gundy's never said anything about an injury to any of us or anything. Who knows?
Like you said, he got asked about CJ during the off week, and said, "Yeah, he's coming along.
Yeah,
he's doing all right."
He's doing
but
right.
That was pretty much
kinda,
it. He didn't really go into any detail. So, Brandon also asks, assuming Chuba goes pro, and let's stop right there. Percentage playing the percentages game. Your percentage chance that Chuba goes pro?
75.
I think that's a fair number. I'm probably right in that range.
Yeah.
If you set that as the over under, I might go a little over, but not much.
Yeah.
Yet. Right now. Though I'm inching that way. I'm inching up the scale. But assuming Chuba goes pro, what does the running back situation and depth look like next year? That
trouble
is a scary situation.
Is it trouble?
At this point.
Yeah.
I'd say trouble. Yeah, that's fair. That's definitely
you've
fair.
You've got LD Brown.
Who has improved.
Yes.
He had his struggles earlier.
But I don't know that he's an every down running back.
No, I don't know that
he's. DeAndre Glass.
Yeah.
Who's
been
We saw him once.
Came in a little bit, mm-hmm. a little bit.
McNeese, right?
Underdeveloped, I think, yeah. physically from what they were, mm-hmm. what they want him to be. Yeah, played against McNeese and fumbled, which was not a good.
Yeah, no, that wasn't good.
Not a good start for him.
Des Jackson will be back. He's the one I'm intrigued with.
He's the one I think has the chance to be more of the every down back. Mm-hmm. Than L.D. Brown.
I thought we'd see more of him this season than we have. We just haven't seen him.
I think when his injury kind of dragged on and then Chuba Hubbard's season took off and they started to realize this guy might be gone, we haven't actually talked to anybody about this officially, but I really think they're considering redshirting Des Jackson to make sure they've got him for two more years. So, and he is eligible for a redshirt.
And then Micah Cooper, I assume, is back, but I don't know that we'll see him still. Right. I mean, he's a walk-on. And then they don't have anyone committed yet.
No, I think they probably end up trying to land two in the recruiting.
I think
class.
They want Isaiah Jacobs at Owosso. They want I'm going blank on the California.
Ngata's
there from California, mm-hmm. And they might be on some other people we don't know about. And that's an issue they're going to want to address.
Yeah,
especially if they lose Chuba.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a rough situation for them in a way because it's a really strong year for in-state running backs mm-hmm. in the recruiting class, and it felt like they weren't going to necessarily need a guy. Or if they did, it was just one, and they could kind of be picky. But now they really need to be involved. Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to come back on a Dominic Richardson or a Savion Morrison.
Yeah,
and see what if they can pull them away from someone else.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Before we move on, a question of my own regarding Chuba Hubbard. Do you ever remember a Heisman campaign that was so unique? And
no.
to set the stage for people who didn't see it, Howie Mandel got involved on Tuesday
yeah.
with his O Canada promotion of Hubbard for the Heisman.
You had Wayne Gretzky at the Edmonton Oilers. You've had the Edmonton Eskimos.
The Eskimos got in on it, and
there's more. We're told there were more likely to come from Canada.
Yeah, and obviously. We had the Chubacabra. Can't forget the Chubacabra.
Yeah.
So it's been fascinating. I remember some really fun things that from over the years. Ed Oliver, when he was at Houston, they sent out bobblehead dolls to the media.
Wasn't there a bobble horse last year? Or
that
something?
Was it. That was it. It was Ed Oliver on
that's
a horse.
Right.
And I remember in 2008, Chase Daniel. When his got going really, really serious toward the end of the year, they sent out what were those things called? They were sort of like when you were a little kid. They were like binoculars. You like held them up to the light and you
like
click the thing.
And the
slide goes around.
Yeah, what are those?
I can't remember what.
Man, I know what you're talking about
now,
though.
But,
yeah,
but they sent out those. They sent out to the media with like clips of his his stats.
And oh, that's cool.
Different game performances and things like that. It was really cool.
That's cool. I think of like the NBA campaigns they do for the MVP too.
Right.
Because we've had stuff pop up in our office that really is funny. Like with Anthony Davis doll.
Right. Yes,
with James Harden sent out like candies of his beard and different things. And that's fun stuff.
It is. It's good stuff.
But I like Canada's Cowboy, the campaign they're having there with all these celebrities and from Canada and stuff. And our editor Jeff Patterson said Brett the Hitman Hart should be on the list there. And I would love to see that, if he, tries to give Chuba the famous sunglasses
right.
or something like that.
Exactly. Crazy stuff. But props to OSU. They're having fun with it and doing well. All right, so let's dive into this last one. What's it going to take for OSU to get to the Big 12 title game? Now, obviously, as our listener mentioned, Oklahoma State's got to win out.
Yeah, that's step
option
one.
Number one. Looking at the standings right now, Baylor is 6-0, Oklahoma 5-1, Texas 4-2. Then you've got Iowa State, Kansas State tied with Oklahoma State at 3-3.
So if I'm looking at here, I've got the standings in front of me. I don't know all the matchups remaining for some of these teams off the top of my head. Baylor needs to beat OU.
Mm-hmm.
That has to happen.
Yes.
Or OU loses to another team.
Yeah.
Who do they? I don't remember who they have left. I apologize.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean,
OU needs to lose one more.
OU's got to lose another
besides
game
OSU.
Besides Oklahoma State.
And
into that.
Texas
that
needs time. To lose twice?
Twice more. I mean, there you can get into some scenarios where, let's say Oklahoma State, and Texas all finish with three losses. Then they've all beaten each other.
Mm-hmm.
So then it goes down to the next step in the tiebreaker is record against each individual team in the conference based on order. So you would go number one first.
Do Baylor probably in that scenario.
And
they all lost to Baylor at that point.
Well, Texas hasn't yet, but they would. That's probably the loss that's coming for them. If we assume that the Baylor has beaten Texas, then you go down, and then it's chaos from there, trying to figure out who's going to be next in order. So it's going to be hard to project at that point. But here's the easiest way that Oklahoma State gets to Arlington for the Big 12 title game. They went out. Baylor wins out, which will include wins over Oklahoma and Texas. So that gets Oklahoma down to that three-loss mark, which is where Oklahoma State will need them if they've beaten them to get the head-to-head advantage. Then you need Iowa State to beat Texas this week.
Yes.
That gets the extra loss for Texas. And then it doesn't matter after that, because the only other teams that could possibly be in a tie with Oklahoma State for that second spot.
Iowa State and Kansas State.
Iowa State and Kansas State, and they've already beaten them. So,
man.
So it's
so if Baylor and Iowa State win this week, it's on.
Yeah,
essentially,
that's exactly right. It's going to start becoming a real scenario. Now, obviously, it's all going to hinge on Oklahoma State winning Bedlam.
Yes,
that might be the biggest piece of the puzzle.
And I think
they can
right now.
Yeah, I think
the way OU's playing right now, especially.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's entirely
the way
possible.
The two defenses, the trajectory of the two defenses right now. Makes you feel that Oklahoma State could be in a good situation, much better situation than you thought 3 weeks ago going into that game. So that is the easiest scenario, is to get if Texas loses twice more, OSU and Baylor both went out, and Oklahoma State's sitting pretty in Arlington playing for a Big 12 title on December 7th.
That'd be wild.
After the way this season has gone, to think that it's still even in the cards.
And you know OSU would want another shot at Baylor.
Oh, absolutely. After the way that game went, leading the fourth
quarter.
They
would want another shot at Baylor so bad.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's going to be we'll see how it goes. And I mean, obviously, if Oklahoma wins this week, then things get a little bit more complicated, and you've got to get another loss for the Sooners somewhere. I'll pull up their schedule now while we're talking. But gotta have another loss for them somewhere along the way. Whoever it might be, they've got to get to three losses for that to work. Because even if Baylor completely tanks, they're still only going to be at three losses and have the head-to-head advantage over Oklahoma State. So that's not going to help. They need Baylor to keep winning football games. So that's going to be the most important part. Let's have a look here if my phone wants to cooperate.
Yeah, I'm not.
It doesn't always sit in here when we're in the studio. TCU.
TCU's improved.
Is definitely better than I thought they were a few weeks ago. So, but that's the key. That's the key. You get OU to three losses, with obviously one Bedlam being one of them. Get Texas to four losses to get them out of that tiebreaker. And like I said, there could end up being some tiebreaker scenarios where it goes in Oklahoma State's favor, but it's just pure chaos.
Do any of these go to lot like the OSSA likes to go to?
No, it goes to scoring differential is the next.
They've got things on there. Okay,
I see.
When the OSSA always went to lot, I was like, what does that even mean?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we're rolling dice for the Big 12 championship game.
Draw them out of a hat like Friday Night Lights.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, But fascinating stuff either way. To think that it's even in the cards at this point is after the way the middle of this season was going is pretty crazy. And, you know, you think even just one of those, we've talked about this, that Oklahoma State was really close to winning any of those three games that they lost. You think about if they were sitting at 4-2 right now, it's a whole different scenario.
Oh man. So,
That
Texas Tech loss is what's going to come back to haunt them. I think.
Yeah, that's the really painful one to go out there and just not show up for the first half and then, you know, couldn't make a stop in the second half. That's the one that's going to sting, I think, out of all of them. All right, man. Well, let's get we teased this earlier in the week. We said we would discuss our picks.
Oh man,
you don't have to give a score. Let's just play the point spread.
Is it still 17, 18?
It's right in that range. I think 17.5 is what we had to pick against for the paper. So we'll go with that, even if it's not exactly accurate. But picking the Pokes to cover this one.
I am. I think I'm going to do it.
Yep.
I think the running game will be so dominant that Kansas won't be able to keep up.
Yeah. And I think the defense is going to get some three and outs. They're going to get some momentum going. And I think we're going to see them do something we haven't seen in a while. I'm predicting 50 points on the board for the Cowboys this week.
Would not surprise me. I think they're ready to come out and – I think there's a chance, too, here, the way that they're rising in the rankings right now, that maybe they can come out and make a statement.
Yeah.
And not that Kansas is any team to really make a statement with, but I think it's who they have. They have Kansas, they have West Virginia.
Yeah.
Come out and score a bunch of points the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Have some comfortable wins, I think really kind of might, you know, really help them in the voters' eyes.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you've been looking at an Oklahoma State offense that's been scoring in the 30s for a few weeks here now. And, you know, I think to go put 50 on the board would kind of ease some people's minds.
And they might leave Chu in there a little longer than normal, too.
You never know.
They're trying to build this campaign. They might let him get in there and get some really big numbers.
Yeah, that's exactly right. If he's having the kind of day that we all expect. He might not even have to play the fourth quarter to get to the numbers that we've been talking about. So, all right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Cowboy Chronicles podcast, which is, of course, brought to you by Zaxby's. Satisfy your craving for hand-breaded chicken, fresh-made salads. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order online at zaxby's.com/podcast.